con la chilena, golazo.
Yo, 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 welcome to episode 10 of Football Without Hesitation, your weekly look at San Jose Earthquakes, Burlingame Dragons, Major League Soccer, soccer. Yeah, this was a big-ass week for the Quakes familia. Today, Thursday, the 21st, they made the formal announcement with the new USL club up there in Reno. As most of you probably have heard by now, the Sacramento Republic are again. They have big MLS aspirations. They're doing really well. I can't wait. At this point, it's just a matter of time when they come up to MLS. So I'm excited for that. So in preparation for that, the Quakes have dropped their partnership with them. Not necessarily dropped. I mean, that makes it seem like it was a breakup, but it was a mutual separation. Watch out, if there ever was one. So what the Quakes did, they went out to Reno. Let's see what this team, Reno 1886, I believe the team is. 1868. Reno 1868 FC. So that's the new USL club that will be representing the Quakes, or the Quakes again will be sending players down there for fitness, or you know, to get them more playing time, whatever it might be. I like that. It's in Nevada, so it kind of extends the range of the Quakes. Plus, it sandwiches the Republic in the middle there, which kind of hampers their ability to market out there. I mean, I don't think Reno's not that big of a town, but it's still, you know, the Reno Tahoe area, 200,000 people, 230,000 people. That's decent. But yeah, that's a good way to get the Quakes name there. Again, Highway 80 goes right through it. That'll take you right to the Bay Area. I mean, right through Sacramento. So it's important to get the name out there. It's cool. They have a little section in their shop that sells Quakes gear. So you definitely see a lot more Quakes gear. And again, so many people from around the country go to Reno for the gambling and the nightlife or whatever. So that's going to be good, you know, that the Quakes have a presence there. I'm excited about that. It kind of keeps filling that family. You know, there would have been a big gap there. A lot of the teams now are doing their B squads, their, you know, your Sounders 2 or LA 2, whatever. All the 2 squads. This is what I like. I'm glad there's no San Jose Earthquakes 2. How fucking late. They're just adding a 2? How fucking unoriginal is that shit? I like this. This is a team that it is fairly new to Reno, but it's kind of organic. They're doing their own thing, and they just happen to come onto the family, and I doubt that there's any talk of them and eventually call them Quakes too. That'd be the stupidest fucking thing, dude. But anyway, yeah, welcome to Reno 1868, to the familia. Another team in the family, the under 23 squad that plays in the fourth division, the PDL, was in Fresno on Tuesday in the PDL playoffs, playing the Fresno Fuego, who won the Central Pacific table. They were at the top of the table at the end of the season, so them and the Dragons had a playoff game to see who would move on to the Final Four, and it was a fucking awesome game. I was lucky enough to be able to make the drive down to Fresno. Not my favorite drive in the world. Salinas to Fresno, once you get into the valley there, it can get really hot and fucking smelly. There's no wind, and there's fucking a shitload of cows. And I say shitload in the most literal sense possible, because oh man, Los Baños. It sounds messed up because it's like it's Los Baños. You don't want to make fun of Los Baños. Oh, it smells like shit. But dude, it really fucking smelled like shit. Too many cows, man. Too many cows. Right at the edge of town, there's a fucking dairy. Like a I don't know how tall. I can't judge heights. 100-foot tall dairy. 70-foot tall dairy. I don't know. It was just weird. Right on the main strip. Right there. The fucking highway is their main strip. Right at the end, fucking dairy. Just in case you couldn't smell it, this is what you were fucking... This is what's going on here. So anyway, made the drive down there. They played at Chukchansey Park. Fuesno Fuego, apparently, they're an old team, man. They're 16 years old. This team was founded at the turn of the century. And it shows. They had a lot of fucking support. They had a lot of support. They play at Chukchansey Park in downtown Fresno, which is a gorgeous fucking park. Dude, that place blew my mind. It's a minor league baseball stadium. And to be quite honest, I have very little experience in minor league baseball stadiums, so I was kind of excited. Plus, it used to be the Fresno Grizzlies used to be the Triple A team of the Giants, so that was kind of exciting, you know. I know it's the River Cats now, but it's just cool to be able to check it out. You know, you heard about it so often in the past several years, and damn was I impressed. It's got a really cool view of the downtown Fresno, which has several pretty nice, you know, buildings, good height there that make a nice backdrop. It reminded me a lot of AT&T Park. I was so curious. I got to look it up. I don't know if because they were the affiliates, they made some things, but just walking around, you got a fucking AT&T Park vibe. And I like that. I mean, AT&T Park is just fucking, it's great. So a big shout out to the city and whoever put that together. It was a really nice stadium. Everyone that worked there was awesome. That's what I thought was cool. Several of the workers came up to me, you know, just kind of chatting it up, and they're really cool people. You know, it was really cool people, really proud of their city and of their stadium. So it was awesome. It was awesome. And then to top it off, there was a fucking great game. Fuck this fucking game. I'm telling you, I'm going to take a drink of this. I shouldn't be drinking coffee this late, but hey. Again, the Fresno Fuego were the best team in the league there. They had beat the Dragons before, so it was going to be a tough game. The Dragons are fucking stacked. The Dragons are stacked. I mean, dude, this is, if you're really a hardcore Quakes fan, I know it's kind of at the end of the season here, but you have to be paying attention to the Dragons, man. There's some players there. Just watching some players and you're like, man, I could see you playing on Saturdays real soon. And yeah, especially with the Quakes kind of getting older, especially in the back line there, they're going to have to rely a lot on their, you know, their programs, bringing people up. Look what the fuck Dallas has done. Look what fucking Dallas has done. They're, again, arguably the best team in the league. I would say they're the best team in the league. And they have the lowest payroll, or it might be 19th. Either way, they have one of the lowest payrolls in the league in their top flight. And that's all because they have one of the most advanced academy programs in MLS, and it's fucking paying off. And that goes to show that there is talent in this country, and we just have to get to it. Again, it might be weird, you know, to Americans, and it is kind of strange, but at 12 years old, we should already be, we should have a vision of who has ability, who has a chance to play professionally. This is, again, by 20 years old, they should have, you know, MLS experience. That's not weird. That's not out of the ordinary. A 23-year-old with several years of not just top flight first division experience, but also national team experience, that is not weird. We're not pushing young people to do something, you know. That's just how this sport goes. When it's such a big sport, when it's a fucking global thing, it has to be, you have to start young. And that's one thing, because I know this is eventually going to clash, but college, the whole college thing, a lot of these players that play in PDL go to college and they're able to maintain their amateur status to play in college because this is technically an amateur league. It's the PDL is the highest level amateur league in the country, so it allows college kids to stay in shape, to keep playing soccer over the summer, and also maintain their eligibility. But that's just, it doesn't, college soccer is not at the level, it's not going, you know, the next fucking Dempsey is not going to come out of a university. He's going to come out of a professional development program, and so we need to figure it out now because education is key. I'm not saying, hey, at 14, we know who the professionals are going to be. They don't need to be educated. They're going to score goals for this country. Fuck no. Education is still the top priority. These kids still need to be educated, and college education would be awesome, but something needs to be figured out where they can still attend school. They can, you know, they can still be eligible for scholarships, but they're playing in a professional program. It's going to be weird. Again, it's a big shock to this country. It's something this country hasn't done ever, but it's not going anywhere. It is not fucking going anywhere. The soccer thing is here to stay. Again, with teams like the Dragons and Reno 1868 and all these other teams coming out, it's only going to get bigger. I think they said there was 5,000 people there in Fresno for this playoff game. That's an amateur playoff game in fucking 90. It was the game started at 7:30. It was fucking 90 fucking degrees, and it was 5,000 people out there. Mind you, again, Chukchansey Park is really well situated. It was pretty shaded, not only the pitch, but a lot of the stands as well. The only area that wasn't shaded was where the Fire Squad, which is the big supporters group there in Fresno, what they're called, but they didn't give a fuck. Those dudes didn't care. They're fucking Fresno originals, you know? Like, the heat didn't fuck with them. But yeah, I mean, it was impressive. They were loud. I suck at gauging fucking crowds, but there was between 100 and 200 people just in that Fire Squad thing. It was a big ass fucking group. They were loud. They had a lot of songs. They're pretty fucking vulgar, but it's all right, baby. It's all right. But anyway, back to the game. I get off that fucking soapbox there. The game was awesome. The game was awesome. They went down early. It was scary. They had possession. It was one of those games. They had possession, but every once in a while on the counterattack, fucking Fresno would break out. And fuck, as the minutes went on, it's like, dude, is it going to be one of those games where that team has possession and they're getting the shots, but they just can't get it in? They're clanking off the crossbar. They're just going off, you know, just going off net. It kind of getting one of the feeling one of those, and then Fresno, not lucky shot, but it was bounced around. The guy took a strong shot from the top of the box, and it went in. So it was still early in the game. So it was, I think, 30th minute or something like that. I forget what, you know, something around the 30th minute that Fresno got on the board first. So it was like, all right, it's kind of weird. They're not finding the back of the net. You know, they travel or the heat, whatever it might be. But you never want to be down away in the playoffs. That's just one thing for sure. And again, my concern was going to Burlingame. It's fucking 13 miles away from San Francisco. It's very cool. It doesn't get too hot down there. The fucking bay is right there. You go fucking 2 miles and you're in the middle of the fucking water from Burlingame. So it stays pretty cool. So I was like, if the Dragons are going to have a chance to stay in this, they need to score soon because the heat is only going to get to them. It's just so hard sometimes to find that extra gear, to find that extra little bit of juice in weather like that. And luckily they came back. They fucking came back. They tied it up, and then right after, they took the lead. Aramdani, again, telling you, kid's a fucking beast. They took the lead. I mean, they took the lead. Yeah, they took the lead 2-1. Much more comfortable after that. The crowd got a lot quieter. And at that point, it was just like, can they hold? You already did something spectacular by coming behind, away in a hostile environment. You got 200 people with drums chanting right at your goalie, right on top of you. But could they hold on? Could they hold on? And for most of the game, it looked like they very well could. But then the 88th minute happened, and the dreaded corner kicks, you know. The guy was just able to jump up, get his head on it, got a good shot off. Fucking tied it, dude. Tied it in the 88th minute. The game was going pretty smoothly. You know, there wasn't going to be a lot of stoppage time. So it was like, fuck, are you kidding? And again, this is with the heat, with the travel. So you're like, fuck, how are the legs? How are they doing? You know, a lot of these guys, they've played a lot of soccer already. And they got 30 more minutes to go. So it was tense times. It was tense times. But luckily, the Dragons found it. They found that fire. They found that energy. They found that ability to put one in the back of the net and to take the Central Championship. And, you know, now they're in the Final Four. Now they're in the Final Four. They got one more game. And I'm sorry, I'm freaking trying to think what, but yeah, and they're up there. You know, they're really close to being in the national championship game for PDL, and it gets the name out there more. I was you know, overhearing some of the people there in Fresno, and they were very impressed. I don't think very many of them know that they're affiliated with the Earthquakes. It's kind of, again, not a quiet affiliation. It's not like they're trying to hide it or anything, but they don't make a point to get in your face and say, oh, we're affiliated with the Quakes. They're definitely, it's the Dragons organization, and they play soccer their way. And again, I'm telling you, it's fucking awesome. You got to go out, you know, you got to check it out. They play Friday today. If you're listening to this episode today, this is when I released it. It's Friday. You could go to the PDL website. I'll tweet it out. Follow me at Baldini10, BALDINI10. I'll definitely tweet out the link to where you can watch it. It's down in Tucson, so you know it's kind of a travel there. But yeah, you could watch the future of the Quakes. And MLS, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, not all of them will come on the Quakes, but some of them will definitely be playing for other teams in MLS. It's a good way to get to know, you know, the up and coming talent here in this country. And I highly, highly recommend that next year when in the summer rolls around, you try to catch a game. It's $10, dude. It's $10. There's a Caltrain station right across the street from where they play at Burlingame High School. It's so goddamn convenient. There's a little market. There's a little market right across the street from the stadium that sells fucking badass or local organic fucking cool shit. I found some great mozzarella cheese from fucking Berkeley. I can't even say the name. It's some like French Italian ass name. But anyway, catch a fucking game, dude. Go out and catch a game. They're fucking awesome. If you follow the fucking big squad, follow the Quakes, we're right halfway through the season. Next game is the 20th game. It's 14 games left. The Quakes are at 25 points for the season, which puts them at 8th place, 3 points behind Sporting Kansas City, who has, well, the 7th spot. The top 6 teams make it to the playoffs. So they would need 4 points just to catch up with Vancouver and Portland, who are, especially Portland, is playing much better ball nowadays. So it's going to be a tough sled, man. you know, the playoffs, it is halfway through the season. They still can make some moves, but really, with every week that passes, it is looking dimmer. This game against Toronto was fucking awesome. It was really great for the psyche, and you know, for the fans. We really needed that. I'm gonna say they needed that. Fuck it, I'm a fan. We needed that. I was at the game as usual, and the fucking electricity through that stadium was awesome. Was awesome. I mean, it was. I don't know about easily, but it was definitely. You know, you could tell that I was the loudest game that has happened at Avaya. Well, the loudest Quakes game. I'm not gonna fucking lie. America, the Champions Cup had a pretty fucking loud ass. That had that shit pretty fucking loud. But for Quakes fans, for a Quakes home game, that was definitely the loudest I've ever experienced. I've maybe missed maybe four games in the last, you know, since the stadium opened last year. So, I mean, I could have missed something, but fuck no. When Dawkins scored that goal to take the lead with two men down, that stadium shook. That's why you fucking mixing fucking Quakes lingo and all that shit. But that stadium fucking shook. It was loud. Everybody was involved. It was, again, I'd never seen it like that. I've never seen it. It was so fucking impressive. It was so cool because you know it's going to happen again. You're seeing the future. You know, you're seeing something that's going to be commonplace coming up. Well, if the fucking front office can get their shit together, which, again, at the moment, I believe, giving them the benefit of the doubt that they've only hit, this is the second year at the stadium. It's going to take a while to, you know, pay stuff off. It's a fucking self-financed stadium. Very little public money went into it. And again, I see similarities with the Giants. The Giants in 2000, when AT&T opened up, they were at Candlestick, which was theirs, and it was huge, but the team wasn't really making money. It wasn't that good. They had some fucking great players, don't get me wrong. I mean, that was Barry Bonds in his heyday, but it just, you know, there was no talk of World Series. You know, it was a wild card, and hopefully we can win the first round, the fucking division series, and then we'll see. 2002 was fucking cool. We went fucking heartbreaking how it ended, but hey, it was the Giants in the playoffs. Again, at that point, AT&T Park was 2 years old, but it took a while. They financed the stadium themselves. They were trying to figure out what they wanted to do. You know, they would bring in these old players that had experience, but they just weren't meshing. And then finally, the front office said, you know what? This isn't working. And, you know, to their credit, this is why I love the fucking Giants. Front office came up, straight up said, this isn't working. This isn't working. We can't keep signing these fucking players on the other side of the hill and hoping they work out for us. We're investing in our youth. We're investing in our scouting network, and we're going to draft the right people. And then what the hell happened? Fucking Pablo Sandoval, Buster Posey, Timmy, Matt Cain, Madison Bumgarner, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Bell, every fuck. It fucking went crazy. And this was in 2009. This was 9 years after the stadium had opened. There was still fucking suckage between there. Kinds of suckage. So again, I don't. I'm not giving them a pass. I'm not giving the front office a pass. There's definitely a lot of missteps that they've taken, and there's things that they could have done. They could have done better. But again, this is 2 years of barely making money. So at this offseason, that'll be. I'm curious to see what they do. Curious to see what they do in the winter transfer window, if anything happens, or if they announce some big fucking, we're building a college for fucking soccer downtown, whatever the fuck it might be. I You know, the playoffs, as much as fucking I would love it, that limping into the playoffs is never a good thing. And I'm here for the long haul. You know, I'm not a Quakes fan just so I can, you know, hold up a fucking trophy and say, ha, look at rest of the league. I'm a Quakes fan because I fucking love this team. So I don't, you know, I'm not looking to switch allegiances or anything. So I can be realistic and say, fuck, okay, the playoffs might not be a reality this season. And the way injuries and the way the team is going, it might not be in our best interest. But it'll get there. It'll fucking get there. And we'll see again this off season coming up, what happens with all this money coming in, what happens with, you know, bringing in new coaches or some shit. I don't know. But I want to see something. As a fan, that's definitely for sure I want to see them do something. You can't just sit on your hands. It's not going to magically happen. You know, we'll stick around. We're here through thick and thin, but you got to put a fucking effort, front office. And so you can have more games like what happened on Saturday against Toronto. What a fucking game, man. What a fucking game. I was so happy to go see Endo. I was like, man, I'm going to get to see him play. This dude, I've been following him mostly through his stats through the year, you know, watching some highlights. I was like, man, this dude's fucking good. He's good. So I wanted to see him play, and I was like, fuck, you know, the only real time that I can see him play is if Toronto comes to town. Look at, boom, Toronto was coming July 16th. Fuck yeah, I get to see Endo. Motherfucker becomes the villain. He didn't really embellish much, to be honest. I'll give him that. They were two hard tackles. They were hard tackles, but they were definitely fucking yellow cards. They were only yellow cards. And of course, when you're there at the stadium, you don't have the good angles. It's fast. So all you see is when your player getting a red card, and it fucking makes you mad. And it was a two fucking midfielders, your two Panamanian midfielders that had such great connections. You just fucking from the same fucking side in the midfield, just let's get the fuck out of here. And to the Quakes' credit, they just fucking buckled down. They buckled down. You didn't feel it again with two players down, being there in the stadium. You didn't feel any nerves. You didn't feel any pressure. I'm sure it was there. I'm sure they were so a lot of fucking pressure to score, but in the stands you didn't feel it. You could feel magic. I don't know. Sometimes it just happens. Right here, I got the front page of the Mercury when Matt Cain threw his perfect game. I remember watching that game too. It was the sixth inning. It was the sixth fucking inning, and you're like, dude, something's happening. You fucking feel this in the air. That's exactly the feeling you got on Saturday against Toronto. And fucking Dawkins, what a shot. What a fucking shot. He just saw an opening and was like, hey, you know what? There's a couple people in front of me, or a couple of people between me and goal. Let's fucking take a shot. See what the fuck happens. What happened is the goalie didn't fucking see the fucking shot. He just stood on the balls of his feet and watched it go by. And that was awesome. The way the stadium erupted again, I'm telling you, it was fucking great. I know I don't have to tell you to come out to a fucking game, because you should know. You should know. It's a great fucking time. But anyway, that's no reason to give up on the Quakes or to stop supporting them for the year. I know the playoffs are looking pretty fucking dim, but this is our team, baby. This is our team. There's more performances like last Saturday's coming up. Real Salt Lake is today, again, if you're listening on Friday when I release this, they'll be playing today. So it's a big game for the Quakes this Friday, both for their young squad and the big squad. Hey, you pull it off in Real Salt Lake, I don't know, then all of a sudden those playoffs starting to look a little bit brighter. Again, I'm not holding my breath. They haven't won away. I definitely would love to see a win. You know, a win away would be cool. It would definitely keep them in the hunt. I don't know. Again, the old just get in, baby. Again, I would prefer a team that's not limping into the playoffs, but hey, whatever. Another week of fucking Quake soccer. I'm not going to say no to that. Well, speaking of that, they're playing Pachucs. They're playing Pachuca. Was it Pachuca or Toluca? I think it's Pachuca. In September, if you're a season ticket holder, it's your away ticket B. If you're not, I'm sure there'll be tickets available. If you are a season ticket holder, don't fucking sell your tickets. Don't have that stadium be 13,000 Pachuca fans and 5,000 other random fans. There's 13,000 season ticket holders. There's no fucking reason why that shouldn't be full of Quake supporters and loud as fuck to let them know that, hey, this American soccer thing is for real. You're coming to our house. We dictate the sound. We dictate how it goes out here. And take that back to Mexico with you and let everybody know that this shit's happening. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. This coffee would make me ramble, but yeah, I mean, again, follow me on Twitter at Baldini10. Let me know what you think of the show. It's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher. Leave a review. Leave a review. They're greatly appreciated. That really helps get the show out to more people. Definitely get the attention of Apple or whoever. When they see the reviews, they know people are listening and there's feedback. So again, I appreciate it. The numbers keep going up with every episode. It's amazing. The numbers go up and up every single episode. So thanks everybody for listening. If you like the show, share it with your friends. Again, reach out to me. I'm always at Avaya, section 126. Hit me up at Baldini10. We'll get a fucking beer. We'll chat about the Quakes. That'll be fucking awesome, you know. And you know, and for the meantime, support your local soccer scene wherever you might be. There's a local team playing. Go out there and watch them. If you have some experience, fucking go. You know, go coach somebody. We definitely need better coaches in this country. And but yeah, jump on this soccer train because it's going downhill and there's no way to stop it. The best way to avoid getting hurt by it is to jump on board. So, yeah, I'll catch y'all next week. Again, thanks for listening.